What on earth is going on? The Springboks have rocked Rugby World Cup 2023, picking 7 forwards on the bench for Saturday's blockbuster clash against Ireland in Paris. This is the Inside Pass. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm joined in studio once again by Herman Mostert. Morning, Herman.
Morning, Lloyd. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. I mean, geez, we are getting a bit carried away, but it was very, very shocking. I think Rassie had obviously teased in the week that the Boks might go for a 7-1 split against Ireland. I don't think anybody took him seriously. He put it down to kind of just mind games. I certainly, in fact, was on this podcast yesterday saying it was impossible and, you know, 7-1 was not a realistic call. And then there you go, Rassie and Jacques thinking out the Boks again, surprising. And just clearly seeing rugby very differently to the rest of us at the moment. 7 forwards on the bench. Kobus Reinach is the only backline player on the bench against Ireland. I mean, we were all caught off guard just a little bit yesterday. I mean, do you agree with that? Was that did it come as a surprise to you?
Yeah, as a surprise, not a big surprise, because this is how we've come to know Rassie and Jacques now. You can expect the unexpected with them. We've seen that now with Pollard being drafted back in when a hooker got injured. Obviously, they did use this tactic against the All Blacks just before the World Cup, but it needs to be said, in that game, they were initially scheduled to play 6 forwards and 2 backs, and then Willie LaRue got injured, and then they made the change just before kickoff. Mm. So you didn't really think that they would go that route now in a tournament proper.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, a little bit surprising, but I mean, we can expect anything. Maybe they won't pick any backs later in the tournament. Who knows?
The 8-0 split. Look, it's one thing doing it in a warm-up game. You know, I mean, that Twickenham game against the All Blacks, kind of their hand was forced a bit in the sense that there was that injury before kickoff, so it kind of just happened almost unintentionally. And also, even if it was intentional, that was a World Cup match that, you know, essentially didn't mean an awful lot with the World Cup around the corner. It's another thing entirely doing it in a pool decider. You know, this is going to ultimately determine whether the Boks finish top of the pool or finish second, and whether or not they're going to place the All Blacks or France in the quarterfinals. So, I mean, the stakes are really as high as they could possibly be. This all really comes down to risk and reward. I mean, the risks are obvious because, you know, it's just simply not a lot of cover in the back line should something go wrong. You know, what if a Damian Dialendi or a Jesse Creel goes down in the first few minutes? The Boks are going to be very stretched in the back line. So the risks are obvious. Talk to me about the rewards. I mean, whatever those rewards are obviously enough, you know, to kind of take this risk. But what are they hoping to get out of this? What kind of pushed them to a place where this seemed like a good idea?
Well, firstly, I think they're making a statement, and a very bold statement, in saying exactly what they're going to do, and they're going to come out and try and bash Ireland up front and physically overpower them. And there's no secrets as to what the Boks are going to try and do, but they do that so well that it's very tough to stop, and they're so confident in their own abilities in doing that, then it's not easy to get past. You know, in the match against the All Blacks, when they used the 7-1 split, they brought 7 forwards, all 7 forwards on at the same time.
Yeah,
it was relatively early in the second half, and I remember watching that, thinking, because at the time the Boks were dominating the All Blacks, and you know, you were thinking at the time, geez, this could actually halt their momentum a bit. You know, it's a dangerous thing, especially against a team like the All Blacks, who can, you know, they can score 2 quick tries to turn a match around very quickly, and they brought all 7 on at the same stage, and they just, the scrum just went up a notch. They pummeled the All Blacks in the scrum.
Yeah.
And physically it's as though they just went up a notch, and it's like a second, obviously it is like a second pack of forwards that you just bring on at the same time, and these guys are fresh.
Yeah.
There's like half an hour left, and it just adds to, and I think psychologically it's something on the opponent. You know, they're sort of thinking, geez, how can we handle this? Like a tidal wave coming at us, and it's what can we do to stop it? You know, it's not that easy. It's very hard.
Yeah. You know, that All Black game finished with a record victory for South Africa over the All Blacks. They've never beaten them by a bigger margin, the worst defeats in the history of All Black rugby. And, you know, I would argue that you probably wouldn't see 7 forwards coming off the bench all at one time against Ireland. But then again, you know, what do we even know anymore about what Rassi and Jacques are going to do? They're so out of the box and catching us off guard all the time that they could very well, but you never quite know. The other interesting thing about this is, you know, the statement of the fact that it was done on a Tuesday, and we know that that's not anything, you know, too different from what we've seen from the Box. You know, when there's local games and games, you know, whether it be rugby championship matches or Northern Hemisphere tour matches, they're known for naming their team early anyway. They like to just get it out of the way and get rid of the speculation. But it carries even more weight when you name a squad like this, right? Because that early in the week, you've gone, that's where we are, over to you, Ireland. Do you think the fact that they've gone this way, the fact that there are seven powerful forwards on the bench will now force Ireland into a rethink about what they were going to do for this game?
Possibly, because I've already seen on the Irish Independent, which is a major news outlet in Ireland, they're already debating whether Ireland should counter that with... they did a great debate article. It's their frontline story morning on the website, whether Ireland should opt for a 6-2 forwards back split. So they're not even considering a 7-1 split, because Ireland have never, ever in their history... used a 6-2 split even.
Wow.
So the speculation is already there, and it's obviously now playing on surely on the minds of the Irish coaches. Farrell is probably thinking, geez, now should we actually do this, or should we keep to playing the way we've been playing? You know, they are the number one team in the world. They did beat the Springboks at the end of last year, although it was a very close game, and you could argue the Irish were probably a bit lucky to win that match. Some calls obviously didn't necessarily go the South Africa's way. But, I mean, Ireland have toppled some big teams. I mean, they won in New Zealand under 2 years ago. They won a series in New Zealand for the first time ever. You know, they beat France this year in the Six Nations. So, I mean, they're number one team, deservedly the world's number one team at the moment, because they've been consistently the best team for the last couple of years, you could argue. Yeah, look, I think at the end they'll probably just stick to the tried and tested and hope that that system would take them through and be enough to beat the Springboks. But it's definitely going to get them thinking, no doubt.
Yeah. We're going to go to Kaniso Chwaku, who's in Paris and was in the team announcement press conference with Springbok head coach Jacques Nienaber yesterday. Chwaku, are you with us?
Yes. Good morning. Good people from Cape Town.
Good morning. Good to have you back with us. Tell us what that was like, Trucks. What was the atmosphere like in that press conference yesterday? Jacques seemed quite calm in the way he explained the decision to everybody, but it must have, you know, caught a few journalists off guard. And it certainly has quickly become, you know, the talking point, not only of the Springbok camp, but also the talking point of the tournament over the last few hours.
Look, I mean, at the point when at the point when we got the team, we were literally itching to get into the press conference. It so happened that the team meeting just dragged longer than normal. And then as we were waiting, the players were coming out. We tried to gauge their body language, which is difficult because I think they've become quite aware of the fact that you'll often try to gauge the body language of those who are playing and those who are not playing. So they did very well to hide it. But we went to the press conference with a lot of expectation, and as you rightly say, Jacques was very cool, calm, and collected.
Okay, we've lost Kaniso Chwaku, who's in Paris. Obviously, difficult connecting. I think he's in his hotel room today, and he's not even traveling out on the road. But we'll see if we can get him back a bit later. But Haman, let's talk about some of those options that the Springboks do have. You know, there's the risk involved, as we know. And Jacques was quoted as saying in that press conference, acknowledging that there's risk, saying yes, there is risk, but it's calculated in our opinion. We've analysed Ireland, and after looking at them and what they bring, we know what we need, and we know that in their specific game, while trying to counter what they do, that's the reason we went 7-1. New Zealand and Ireland aren't similar in how they do things. It's just for this specific game. But, you know, if you start playing selector, there obviously are... Quacka Smith's a big player out of the forwards on the bench, because he's considered a versatile guy who can play a few different positions. But if you start thinking of options of backline players who could cover... forward players, rather, who could cover some backline positions, what else do you see as options on the bench?
Well, Quacka is obviously the first one that springs to mind. He obviously has a history in sevens. He was a very good sevens player. So if injuries happen at the back line, more than one injury in the back line, you're going to have to pick a forward in the backs. So Quagga would be the obvious option to maybe play on the wing. Geez, I hope you don't have to play him at fullback or fly half, but you could probably manage him at center and wing, which I think he would actually wouldn't be bad. He's not the slowest guy around, and he's obviously a very good defender and a skillful player. So I think he would go right in when if he's forced to play in the back line.
Yeah. I wondered if they'd go Grant Williams, you know, as the scrum half replacement on the bench. You know, if you go one guy on the bench and it has to be a scrum half, then Grant Williams is also someone who could have potentially done a few things. Obviously played on the wing against Romania, could maybe do a job at fullback or somewhere else. So I was surprised they didn't go that route.
Yeah, a bit surprising. He's got the X factor, but then Reinach also. He played on the wing against the All Blacks at Twickenham when he came on, so he can play wing and he's very fast. As I've mentioned in an earlier podcast, his dad was a former 100-meter South African sprinter, Jaco Reinach, who played. I think he played one test for the Boks in the '80s. So he could. He's going to have to fill that versatile role. Obviously now with Willie LaRue not there. And then, if you look at all the other forwards, maybe barring Marco van Staden, who could, you know, if there's a real emergency, you could maybe force him to play center, maybe not wing, but I mean, if they don't have any options, he's going to have to be there. But all the others, I mean, all the others, John Klein and Achim Sneijman, and then obviously the front row forwards, I mean, you wouldn't think they could play in the back line unless they try and shift Dion Ferreira out on the wing.
Yeah, it's almost like positions are meaning less and less. You know, it's not so much about the number you wear on your back and the position you play. It's just about runners and cleaners and positioning. And that seems to be what Rassie and Jacques are looking at.
Another thing that I actually saw a tweet from former Springbok Keo Aplon this morning, and he said something that people probably haven't looked at is this bench, we're going to have at the tail end of the match, if all the forward reserves are on, we're going to have three fetchers on the field in Dion Ferreira, Marco van Staden and Quagga Smith.
Yeah.
All three of them are going to play a poaching role. And one of them could obviously shift a bit wider into the backline channel. So it could actually be a vital asset for the box to have, especially late on in a game when Ireland maybe try and swing it wide quickly, then there's always going to be a guy that's ready to poach.
Yeah.
So it could be a bit of a weapon that maybe a lot of people haven't actually picked up on.
Mm. Certainly a statement selection from the Springboks. We are taking you to the gutters. Let's get physical. The gauntlet has been laid. Let's go back to Trucks. I think we've got him back on the line. And I just want to find out from you, Trucks. I mean, did Jacques offer any reasons in terms of his thinking, in terms of the selection? What are the Boks hoping to get out of their decision to have seven forwards on the bench?
Look, the long and short of it, Jacques said that this is the best team that they can put out that can actually take the game deep against Ireland. And I actually put the question to him with regards to not picking Vinny and Dwayne. I mean, that's 161 test caps put together and for comfortably the biggest game of the group now having beaten Scotland. They're stuck with Damian Willems and Jasper Visa, players who have potential who are clearly very good. But clearly they've not just got an eye on winning this game, but got an eye on the future. When I asked him about dropping the two key players, he said, look, everyone in the squad is good enough to start a game. So we need to be sure that we're in a position to back players in big games. So that's why they went that particular route. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how the Boks will actually navigate this one. But more importantly, discipline is going to be absolutely critical, especially with the backs, because the Boks can afford to concede a yellow card in the fourth or a red card because they've got cover. The backs have to be very sharp with their discipline. The backs have to be very sharp. Well, the injuries are unavoidable, but you have to be on one. We literally have to be very, very worried and tense about how the backs go about their business from a physical perspective, because the Boks can actually ill afford a backline injury in this game. So, I mean, again, Jacques is very calm, very clear, very concise, very clear that this is something that they thought of before the All Black game. They had scope to try it in the All Black game. It came off in the All Black game. And now they're bold enough to give it a try in this game. So it goes back to what you said, Lloyd. It's very clear that the Bucks are giving Ireland cards on the table. But here are our cards. How you deal with our cards is your business. The Bucks are making it very clear that we need to have a sustained forward effort for 80 minutes. And if we have a sustained forward effort for 80 minutes and wear you down, we will probably prevail. And one needs to remember that the Bucks then have that crucial week after the Tonga game where they will have time off. So they're gambling on this game where the players absolutely empty their tanks, and then they'll go back to what will probably, they win this game to qualify for the quarterfinals. They will probably also look at the Tonga game to make sure that they win that game. But in doing so, winning Ireland will buy them time to recover for the Tonga game, and then a more recovery then in that week leading into the quarterfinals, because they're not playing on the last weekend of the group stages.
Yeah, that's Kaneiso Tshwaku joining us from Paris. Thank you so much, Trux, for those insights. He was obviously in the press conference yesterday where Jacques Nienaber announced the seven forwards on the bench. Mostert, you actually made an interesting point earlier when we were chatting. You know, everyone's speaking so much about 7-1 and what a potentially revolutionary call it is. But actually, there's a lot of continuity about the team for this weekend, because it mirrors almost exactly the team that the Bucks fielded against Scotland. I think the only change is Bogey and Bunambi be coming in for Malcolm Marx in the starting lineup at number two. So actually, a lot of continuity about the box this weekend.
Yeah, that's the thing. All the talk is about the bench. It's the first time I've never seen so much talk about a team's bench ever. But I mean, barring, yes, Malcolm Marx obviously out of the tournament. That's the only change. Eben Etzebeth, luckily he's fit, so he starts again, as we predicted. So obviously some continuity. I think the team is also not too dissimilar from the one that beat the All Blacks at Twickenham. Obviously you can't compare it to last week's match, because it was Romania that they played against, and they were always going to pick a different side. So this looks pretty much like the front line team for the remainder of the tournament, especially once we get to the knockout stages. And if we end up if we beat Ireland and we end up playing New Zealand in the quarterfinals, then this is probably going to be the starting 15. Yes, it'll be interesting to see whether they stay with the 7-1 split on the bench. But it looks like the starting lineup is pretty much settled now. Yeah, it looks like Jasper Visser has now taken hold of the number 8 jersey ahead of Dwayne Vermeulen. I mean, obviously Dwayne not even featuring on the bench for this Saturday's game. So that, you could say maybe a few months back it would have been a surprising selection. But Jasper has done really well. And then obviously Bucks are still backing Marnie at fly half, which we would expect them to do for the remainder of the tournament. But again, goal kicking could become an issue again. If it's another erratic goal kicking performance this weekend, then they're going to have to maybe reconsider that 7-1 bench split in future games, because then you're going to have to maybe get a Pollard in on the bench in order to have that luxury of bringing a recognized goal kicker on. But that all depends obviously on what happens against Ireland. Maybe Marnie has a good game of the boot like he did against New Zealand.
Yeah.
Where he kicked all these goals. So see what happens. But yeah, so some continuity amidst all this bench talk, but the starting team is actually settled.
Yeah, I mean, when you think Willy Leroux, Dwayne Vermeulen, Andre Pollard, I mean, these are the quality of players that are not even in a match day 23 like this. So I mean, it's just another, it speaks again to the depth that the Springboks have in their World Cup squad. We'll leave it there. We've spoken a lot. I'm sure 7-1 will remain a talking point in the days to come. News 24 Sport will be bringing you everything around that analysis, talking points. Don't forget to visit our Rugby World Cup special hub, where you can see all fixtures, logs, results and top stories. The World Cup resumes this evening with Italy taking on Uruguay, and we'll be bringing you that match as well. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been the Inside Pass. All the best and cheers.